Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Amen. As we get into the Word of God tonight, the Lord has placed upon my heart a message that I've titled, The Other Side. And so I want to read this story to you. It kind of will set up the message for the evening. It says, in 1979, there was this tugboat, Cahaba, and it was headed down this Tumminging River in Alabama. And it says, the current was flowing so fast that as the tugboat's pilot approached this bridge and released his coil barge, and what happened was it was just, the current was so strong and it was flowing so fast that it sucked in this boat into these to this area, and so he had to release this coal barge. It says he then put his 1800 power twin engines into reverse to get away, and it says, but when the boat moved slightly off the line, the current swung the boat sideways and it slammed into the bridge. It says the current was so strong that it forced the boat down under the water. And it says, and to the astonishment of onlookers, it actually passed under the bridge. And it popped up upright with the engine still going and the pilot at the wheel on the other side. Why did it come back to the surface in an upright position? Because the fact that this boat was built and it was ballasted with a meter thick lining of cement on the bottom of the hull. And I believe it is a vivid reminder that life can often go horribly, horribly wrong. It can send us through all kinds of twists and turns and unexpected things. But if we have the right ballast, that is, if we have the right foundation, if we have the right ballast, which is Christ and faith in Christ, then I believe that we can get through anything and we can emerge upright on the other side. Because Jesus is our victory. Amen? Jesus is our victory. And so this season that we've been experiencing with COVID-19, you know, has left the world feeling swept away. I believe it's left the world just, feeling, just panicked and stricken with fear. And while there may have been some forewarning about this potential pandemic, no one could have predicted the global impact of what is being felt in the earth right now. And so in my own definition, that feeling of being swept away, it would be like this. It would be like being taken, you know, to a certain place in life without the control of the circumstance. It would be literally just being, you know, taken out of your comfort zone and being placed into some kind of situation that was completely uncomfortable, that was completely out of the norm, that was completely against what you were, against the direction that you were headed towards prior. And so maybe you can relate both in this season or during another time in your life where, you know, you felt just completely your world turned upside down, or you felt in that moment that all of a sudden you've had this overwhelming feeling of being swept away. Sometimes this happens through an illness of a family member that maybe left you just in dire straits, or maybe it was the loss of a loved one, an accident that no one expected, or even an economic crash. But whatever the case was for each and every one of us, you can still remember that feeling of being taken from that place of comfort and that place of control and being shifted into a season that was of discomfort and a season of heartache. At that time, the moment seemed to be an eternity for you. It seemed to last forever. It seemed like, you know, you were never going to get to the other side. But the truth is you're still here today. And you've gotten to the other side of that circumstance. You made it across those treacherous waters. You made it through that fiery furnace. And you're able to breathe. You're able to finally have the pressure released off of you. And you're able to just kind of come back to your senses. And so if you've ever gone through a tough season in life, I believe that you'll relate to this story found in Acts chapter 27. And so if you have your Bible, open it up to the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapter 27. And we're going to start at verse 14. But before we read that, I want to give you some context. Because Paul was in this ship and he was on this boat, but Paul at this time is serving God, and we know that before Paul was a religious leader, he was a scribe, he was a scholar of the law. Paul thought he knew God, but Paul didn't really know God. And so I want to understand where Paul is at this time. Paul now is serving God with all of his might. He was ministering, he was spreading the gospel throughout many regions, and he finds himself on a ship with a bunch of prisoners. And so though he himself didn't merit punishment, he was actually imprisoned just as they were. And he was, you know, caught in this storm without any kind of control over the circumstance. And the Bible records as they were sailing, and as this ship of prisoners was sailing in the ocean, a hurricane force storm began to rise up. And it caught that ship with winds so strong that they had to give way to be driven along by the force of that storm. That is the storm that was pounding their ship. It was so powerful that they passed ropes underneath the vessel, ropes underneath the ship together, fearing that the storm was actually going to rip it apart. And so they were trying to reinforce the bottom of this ship so that just in case it was, you know, dashed against the rocks, it wouldn't split open and they wouldn't be lost. And so as one day turned into the next, they began to throw cargo overboard to lighten the load of the ship. And on the third day, they actually threw the ship's tackle and gear overboard as well. And so we catch up in Acts 27 and verse 20. And it says this: when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, he says, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. I want to pray for tonight's word. Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, you would speak to every single heart. You would speak to every single listening ear, Lord. And Father, you would just, Lord, speak your word powerfully into our life. God, we open our eyes, our ears, our minds, God, to our hearts to receive of the truth of your word tonight. Holy Spirit, speak through me, your vessel. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And so from one moment to the next, we see in this story that there was this soft breeze that had actually begun to blow out of the south, and it was, you know, what they thought it was the opportunity for them to set sail. Back then, these were sailboats, and they had to go with, you know, the force of the wind. And so the crew had loosed anchor and they set sail, and they were sailing as close to the shoreline as possible, just in case their fate changed course. And change course it did. Just when nature seemed to be blessing them, this violent northeasterly storm began to blow in. It came so unexpectedly, so suddenly, that the ship could not be turned to face the wind, but all of a sudden it actually changed the course that the ship was headed on. And it was this typhoon-like storm that had this engulfing, swallowing power, and it drove the ship out into the sea, making the control of this ship utterly impossible. And so the words that the scripture uses says that they let the ship drive. That is, they let the storm drive the ship at will. And there was absolutely nothing that could be done. You know, it's in during times of comfort that great testing will eventually come. It's during times when we think, you know, things are okay and things are just rolling along, and the normal life that we are used to living is just going day by day, and we're maybe even caught, some of you might have been just caught in a rigorous cycle of you know, just being, you know, overwhelmed with work or overwhelmed with you know, family issues. But whatever your norm was, I guarantee it's been completely shaken now. And so uncomfortable circumstances have a way of revealing where our trust lies. I said it's during times of discomfort that all of a sudden there's this shaking in your foundation, and it actually reveals if there's a crack there, if there is a break there, if there's some kind of distrust, if there's some area where you do not fully trust God. And so God permits us to go through fiery situations to reveal where our trust lies and how he can be trusted in the fire and in the storm. And so for someone this season, it could be revealing your lack of preparation or resources for a situation like this. Now, I get it. Nobody knew that COVID-19 was really going to come as fast and as aggressive as it did. For others in this season, it could be revealing a lack of trust and a thrust of panic and fear and anxiety in your life. Now, all of a sudden, you find yourself, you know, completely being out of your comfort zone and saying, this is not normal. I'm worried. I'm fear-stricken. I'm panicked, and I don't know what to do. And even for others, it could reveal the strength and the anchor that the Lord has been for you. I can imagine that many of us have felt captive during this season. Not in the history of the world have we ever gone through a COVID-19. Not in the history of this world have we ever gone through a season like this one, where our lives were completely, you know, brought to a halt, where your normal life was completely stopped in an instant because of this raging virus in the world. You felt out of control of your circumstance so much that you feel imprisoned to whatever this storm might do. You feel bound in a way to allowing the storm to just toss your ship and your life and your family back and forth. And this is exactly what Paul was feeling too. This is exactly what he was experiencing. He was imprisoned on a ship with people that he didn't belong with. He was stuck in a circumstance where Paul was this great leader. Paul had become this great testament of the power of God. He was a person that was ministering to thousands upon thousands of people, but yet he finds himself on a ship with captives, with prisoners, in the middle of this raging storm in the ocean. And you might find yourself in the exact same place today. As believers, sometimes we feel as though we shouldn't be going through something like this because of who we already know the Lord to be. Sometimes there's this belief that we're almost immune to the storm, or we're almost immune to going through, you know, a uncomfortable circumstance like this. But Jesus had this perfect way. He had this perfect way of refocusing our purpose. And Jesus always has the perfect words to say. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, reading out of the Passion Translation. Matthew 5 and 43 says this: your ancestors have also been taught, love your neighbors and hate the one who hates you. Verse 44, he says, however, I say to you, love your enemy and bless the one who curses you. Do something wonderful for the one who hates you, and respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. He says, for that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father. He is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh whether a person does what is good or evil. Verse 46 says, so what reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable? He says, don't even tax collectors do this? He says, how are you any different from others if you limit your kindness only to your friends? He says, don't even the ungodly do that? He says, since you are children of a perfect Father in heaven, you are to be perfect like him. Jesus was saying this. He was saying, you who know me, you who have a relationship with me, this is how you are to live. This is the life, and this is the standard that your life must carry. What does that look like? It means by loving, by blessing, by praying for others who can do nothing for you. Church, now is the season. Don't wait any longer. Now is the time to be the love, to be the hands, the blessing, to be praying for others that need to know Jesus. Amen? Now is not the time to be complaining about where you have found yourself in the uncomfortable situation that we are all facing. But now more than ever is the time to say, you know what, Lord? I am in this place that you have put me. How can I serve you, Lord? How can I serve you? He says, what reward do you deserve by loving only the lovable? But rather, it's in the storms like this when you can and when you can reveal the Father's perfect love by living love just as He did. This is the call for the church right now. This is the call for the people that have said yes to Jesus, that we would do what the Father has done. You could say that Paul was probably in the same boat, literally, as you and I. And that is this, is that he had finally changed his heart from being this religious, you know, Christian killer to being a person that had surrendered his life to establishing the church of God all around the world. And he was in this storm that he didn't think he merited. And he was finally doing things God's way, and he wasn't doing them his own way, but yet Paul was captive as a prisoner, just like the rest of them. And I'm here to remind someone tonight that if you find yourself in the same boat as the world, maybe it's because the Lord wants to use you to release the captives. I said, maybe it's because God wants to use you in this season to release those who are imprisoned around you. It could be that the Lord desires more of His will to be done than your comfort in fulfilling His will. I believe most often the Lord actually sends His people into uncomfortable situations so that we cannot rely on our own skill, on our own talent, on our own ability, but we can only rely on His Holy Spirit. Amen? So that we can only rely on His strength in that moment. The Bible says for Paul and those on the ship, it says they gave up all hope of being saved. They were literally hopeless. They had no, you know, hope. They had no desire to live for tomorrow. They had nothing that was going to keep them going because of how just entrapped and entrenched in that circumstance that they felt. And so, Christian, I'm speaking to you, believer, you should be the very source of life. You should be the very source of hope in your neighborhood. You should be the very source of hope in your workplace. You should be the very voice of hope in your family and amongst your family. While others around you are in panic, you are connected to the one who releases peace into any storm. You are called in this moment to be the voice of hope. Zechariah 9 and verse 12 says this, "Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope." He says, "Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you." Twice as much. You see, if God has been your shelter, then guess what? We need to return to that fortress. We need to return back to Him as our place of rest, that fortress of hope, because God will restore twice as much. He will restore a double portion to you in this season, and there is a greater blessing on the other side of COVID-19. I said there is a greater hope on the other side of this pandemic and of this season that we are living in. But our purpose is to bring hope in the boat that you are living in today. That is our purpose for this season. You are where you are at. You are divinely appointed to bring hope to those around you. And it starts with your family. I said it starts with your family. It starts with being that voice of hope in your family right now. Maybe it's a child to the parents or parents to their children or a spouse to their kids or however it is. Or maybe you're single. Maybe you're at home alone. Listen, trust in me. Understand this word and understand that the Lord is positioning you to be a voice of hope to somebody. Amen. And so I want us to just quickly look at a few things tonight that Paul did to maintain his focus on God and not in his circumstance. This leads us to our first point tonight, and that is this, is that we need to be a voice of encouragement to others. Amen? We need to keep on encouraging others. After several days of shock, those prisoners they weren't even eating at this point. They had gone through several days, and they had literally given up hope. And if you've ever seen somebody in the hospital, you know, that's maybe has gone through, you know, horrible, tragic disease, or maybe they've literally been on their deathbed, you notice one of the final things that you understand about a person when they're on their deathbed is they usually stop eating. They usually find themselves in a place where they can't consume anything else. They're completely stuck. And eventually they'll wither away and die if they don't eat something. And so these sailors, the people that were managing this boat and the ship that Paul finds himself on, they weren't eating. And so the Lord begins to speak through Paul. Acts chapter 27 and verse 22 says this. He says, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage." He says, "Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." You see, being encouraged and courageous is probably one of the most difficult things to do during a crisis situation. Most people would succumb to the circumstance, and during times of crisis, it really takes a special person to stand up and believe when no one else does. It really does take a special person to stand in the midst of a storm and speak words of hope. And Paul was appointed on that ship to be that messenger to those men who feared for their life. He was going to be the messenger of hope to these people that were, you know, in a situation where they were giving up hope and they had no hope left. They were afraid of what could happen. And so Paul reassures them that none of them would be lost. I don't know who you need to relay that message to today, but you need to speak out to somebody in your world and say, "Listen, none of you are going to be lost. None of you are going to fall by the wayside. None of you are going to be consumed by this pandemic. None of you are going to be, you know, stricken down by COVID-19. And you need to speak that into somebody's life. He says, "But only the vessel that was carrying them into the storm would be destroyed. Only the very thing that took them into that storm would be the very thing that would be destroyed." And I believe that this is our message during this pandemic. Keep courageous, because none of you will be lost. Only this virus will be destroyed in Jesus' name. I said, only this virus will be destroyed in Jesus' name. But let me also say that you need to surround yourself with encouragement and encouragers. Because the last thing that you and I need when dealing with a storm is to be amongst discouraging people. Amen? The last thing that you and I need, you know, when you're trying to be free of panic and free of anxiety, is a panic-filled person. And so how do we do both? How do we find ourselves, you know, in that place? Listen, sometimes you've got to tell certain people to get away from that battle that you're facing. And sometimes social distancing can actually be a good thing in that moment. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8 gives us an example of this. It says, "And the officers shall add, is any man afraid or faint-hearted?" He says, "Let him go home so that his brothers will not become disheartened too." You see, those who were afraid in the Israelite army, they were sent home so they would not strike fear into the other soldiers. This is what was happening. And so the point is when you're dealing with a serious storm of life, you too may need to send some voices that are discouraging you away from your battle. Regardless of what, you know, family might tell you, regardless of what the thoughts that the enemy would put in your mind, God reminded them that very same army that they were in this battlefield, they were in that place. And so he had to remind them and give them this word in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. He says, "Be strong and be courageous." He says, "Do not be afraid or terrified because of them." That is the enemy. He says, "For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you." And this is exactly what Paul encouraged that ship to do. It was to keep their courage. Paul knew that if he and those who he was imprisoned with were going to make it to the other side, then he had to speak hope to their life. He had to be a voice of encouragement. He had to be a voice of hope in the middle of that storm. Peter and the disciples also knew of this truth as well. They were faced with a storm that had completely rocked their boat, and they too were told to keep up their courage. But this time was a little different. It wasn't like the time before when they initially had set out sail and Jesus was actually in the boat with them. It wasn't like that storm that they had to go through, but it was a different one. The disciples were feeling it alone, and they were feeling afraid, and this boat that, you know, they were in was being tossed back and forth by the waves, And instead of Jesus actually being in the boat with them, this time Jesus was walking on the storm itself. The disciples are in this boat and they're feeling alone and they're afraid, and they are met by Jesus walking on the raging waters. And they were so shocked by the fact that Jesus actually met them in the storm. They thought he was a ghost. They were afraid. And Jesus responds to them in Matthew 14 and 27. It says, Jesus immediately says to them, he says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." You see, during times like these, it can be difficult to find Jesus or seemingly find Jesus in our boat. And there's moments when it seems like he's in the boat and we find comfort and we find peace in that, meaning that we feel his presence near us and with us, and we can hold on to him as strength. But there's also moments when he's walking on the storm, when he is walking above the storm. And in both instances, I want you to know that Jesus proves his authority over all situations, and he speaks peace to that storm. He speaks life into their hearts, and he speaks for that storm to be stilled. And so don't let the storms that you face today sweep you away in hopelessness. I said, don't let the thing that, you know, the enemy is attacking you with right now in this moment sweep you away in hopelessness, but trust in the Lord. Psalms 31 and verse 24 says this. It says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." He says, take heart, be strong, because your hope is in God. I said, your hope is in the risen King. Your hope is in a God that is not dead, but he is alive today. Amen? And the second thing that I want to encourage us to do is the second thing is that we need to stay in the storm. That is, we don't need to fight against what is happening around us, but we need to stay in the storm. What does that look like? Acts 27 and verse 29. It says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, it says they dropped four anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight. Verse 30 says, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. It says, then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, he says, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. The first thing that we see in this passage of Scripture is that they prayed for daylight. They prayed that the storm would end, and that's never a bad thing to do. It's never wrong to ask the Lord to turn, you know, the page to a new day. But there's this picture of man's way versus God's way to save men. I believe this is being illustrated before our eyes, and they had already been on this you know, journey for over 14 life-threatening days. And it was midnight, and the sailors had no idea where they were. They were in this ocean. They were being tossed back and forth by the sea, and they had sensed that they were close to some land. They thought they were getting near. They thought they might be, you know, where they wanted to be, and they were hopefully, you know, going to get out of this storm. And so in sounding the depth, they discovered that they were actually being driven towards the shore. And they were terrified because the likelihood was that they were actually going to crash upon this rocky shore. And the ship was going to be destroyed. And so they quickly dropped anchor awaiting daybreak, and they were hoping for the best. But some of those who were, you know, controlling this ship, some of them that were actually, you know, the sailors on this boat, they were trying to escape the storm. And they begin to plot this escape, ignoring the word and the promise of God entirely. And so Paul discovers what's happening, and he discovers that, you know, what is going on. And so he proclaimed that God's way for saving everyone had to be followed if anyone wished to be saved. You see, they thought that maybe they could drop anchor, they could just jump out of the boat and swim to shore, and they were going to be fine, and they were going to abandon all these people behind them. And dare I say, you know, you and I are like those sailors. We're like those people that are people of influence, people that actually, bear influence in our sphere, in our world. And how dare us think that for a moment that God would be in approval of you and I abandoning the prisoners, of you and I abandoning those that needed rescue just as much as you and I. We ask ourselves that question, isn't that like mankind? Because men are always plotting their own way to salvation. They're always plotting their own way to rescue, their own plan of salvation. And it's a natural reaction, I get it, from people who naturally want to run from pain. You naturally want to escape whatever is bringing you discomfort and hurt and pain. It's natural for us to desire to want to get out of the hospital bed, before we are well. It's natural for us to want to remove trial and hardship from our lives by abandoning the situation. But God has proclaimed the way, and there is no other way that men can be saved. And so we all want to see COVID-19 come to an end, amen? But I want to encourage you to find hope in staying in the storm, because God is doing something in your family right now. I said, God is doing something in your life. He is doing something in your home today. And it's all preparing you for His greater purpose for your life. God is speaking to your heart today to take courage, because the Lord is with you. I said, Jesus is with you. And if you haven't asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, my friend, then listen to me carefully. You are like a ship without a sail. Or you are like a ship, rather, with a sail that is being blown about by whatever the storm wants to take it to. And wherever the storm wants to dictate its direction. Whenever the storms of life hit you and whenever the storms of life take you, you will have to submit to whatever they are doing. You'll be like a person with an incurable disease, hopeless for life, expecting at any moment that you will one day perish. But if you trust in the Lord, if you trust in Christ, you will find, as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you. They are not to harm you, but they are plans to give you hope and a future." He says, "Then you will call on me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you." He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity." He says, "I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." The Lord is speaking to you today, and the Lord is speaking to us today. And He is literally saying this. He says, "My plans for your life are not to harm you. They are plans to give you hope. They're plans to give you a future." He says, "You can pray to me and I'm going to answer you. I'm going to hear you." He says, "When you seek me with all of your heart, you are going to find me." And I love the next part of that verse. He says, "And I will bring you back from captivity." Some of you that are listening to this message today, you don't even know that you're bound. But I'm here to awaken your spirit today and let you know that anyone that has not received Jesus is still stuck in captivity. You're still stuck and you're still bound by the grip of sin, of hell, of death, and the grave. And the only way that you can be freed is by accepting and receiving Jesus into your life. Paul and the rest of these men were in captivity. They were in a ship. They were all captives. They were all prisoners. But Jesus is the one. I said, Jesus is the one who sets prisoners free from any storm of life. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." He says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Back in the time of Jesus' day, there were many followers in His time that felt like running from Jesus as salvation. Some of us aren't maybe too familiar with this story, but there was people that wanted to turn away from Jesus because of what Jesus asked of them. because of the level of commitment that he was asking of them. And Jesus has told them in this passage of Scripture that unless they ate the flesh of Jesus and drank his blood, that they would not have eternal life in them. And this was a bold statement. In fact, it was a mind-blowing statement for people because they couldn't picture this. It sounds like cannibalism. It sounds like something that's completely wrong. But when others who were following Jesus heard this teaching, they had fallen away from the faith. It was too much to understand. It was too graphic. It was too powerful of an illustration. But what Jesus was actually pointing to was this. There was to be a choice in life of every single person, whether or not they would choose to partake of what Jesus has offered us. And that was his blood and that was his life. And so Jesus is saying he gave him no other option. He didn't say, you could choose a cool church to find eternal life. That's not what he said. He didn't say that you could choose religious practices to make it to heaven. He didn't say any of those things. But he was saying, you must take what I have given for you and take it and receive it to yourself. And he was referring to the death and the crucifixion that he would eventually endure for our sin. And so we find this story in John chapter 6 and verse 67. He says, you did not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Verse 68, Simon Peter answered him. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, you have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Ultimately, Paul had faith that God would get them to the other side. I have faith that the Lord is going to get us through this circumstance. But the question of the hour is, do you? Do you believe? You see, Paul knew should they abandon that ship, then they would actually be leaving the covering of God. Paul knew that if they were going to make it through, then they needed to stay in the will of God. That is, they needed to stay in the storm. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 says this, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest and find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91, verse 9 says, if you make the Most High your dwelling place, even the Lord who is my refuge, it says, then no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your tent. This is what God's, and this is what staying in God's will is and will do for us. You know why Jesus could sleep on that boat in the middle of the storm? I believe it was because he knew that his Father was in control. Jesus had this peace and this assurance knowing that his heavenly Father had all authority, church. Knowing that there was nothing that he could be in or that his Father could permit him to do. That his Father could permit him to do in that moment that would take him out of the covering and the peace and the protection that only God provides. Amen? We're going to continue the rest of this message next week, but before we go any further tonight, do you have rest knowing that your heavenly Father is in control? Or do you find yourself as a prisoner with no hope? Paul was a prisoner of hope. Now, if you're going to be shackled to anything during this season, it might be a great idea to be bound to hope. Amen? It might be a great thing to be bound to hope in a circumstance like this. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16 says this. It says, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. He says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. And he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. He says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. And he has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You see, the question is, the statement I'm about to make next is this, is if you have hope today, then share hope with somebody. I said, if you have hope today, then share hope with somebody. Share hope with somebody who's feeling hopeless. Share the hope of salvation that you have found in Jesus with your neighbor, with your loved one, with somebody that is in a season where they're fearful, where they're looking around and they're saying, you know, Pastor Duke, I don't know if we're going to get out of this, but you have hope in your life. Offer that hope to them right now. Offer this hope to them, church. But if you are a prisoner, and you're like the prisoner that was shackled to that boat in the storm, then I want you to know that it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus that's going to get you to the other side. It's only Jesus that can set you free. It's only Jesus that can set your soul free. It's only through the blood that Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sin that can free you from death, from hell, and from the grave. And so today, my friends, you have the amazing opportunity to accept this Jesus into your life so that you too can have hope. I said, so that you too can have hope. And so I want you to know this hope today. I don't want you any longer to be like that boat in the middle of that storm that was captive, that was bound, that was getting pushed around, that was fearful, that was without hope. But I want your soul to have an anchor. I want your soul to find the anchor that is Jesus Christ. And so if you want to accept Christ into your life today, if you'd like to say yes to Jesus, then I want you to simply pray with me. And all you have to do is just right there where you're at, right there in your vehicle, in your room, in your home, in your office, wherever you're listening from today, all you have to do is simply say, Jesus. Say it right there where you are. Just call upon him. Say, Jesus, I need you today. I need you to come into my life. I am like this ship that is being tossed back and forth. I confess today, that you are risen from the dead. And I confess today, and I believe in my heart, that you have saved me. From this day forward, from this moment on, I will trust in you as my Savior and as my God. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Fill me with hope. Fill me with life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Listen, friend, if you prayed that prayer, I'm so excited for you because I believe the heavens are rejoicing over your life today. That feeling that you're feeling right now is the Holy Spirit all over your life right now. He's all over your life, and guess what? He's going to transform you. He is going to change you from this moment on. Amen? He is going to change you from this moment on. And I want to pray with you as well, church. If you would just pray with me tonight. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your word. I just thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for a people of hope, Lord. I thank you, God, that, Lord, you have called us to be voices of hope, Lord, in the midst of this storm. You have called us to be voices, God, Lord, that are pointing people to you. And so every single day, Jesus, I pray that you would use our voice. And God, you would just amplify our voice to those in our world, Lord. You would amplify our voice, God, to every single person, God, that we come in contact with. And we let them know that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life. He is the only source of eternal hope. And if we would place our trust in him, if we would place our faith in him, then we would never be forsaken and we would never be dismayed. And so, Holy Spirit, use the voices of the church, God, to rise up, God, Father, and Lord, in a unified voice, God, in a unified declaration that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus still saves today. Use every single person in the body of Christ, God, because, Lord, this storm, God, is preparing us for the greater anointing. This storm, God, is preparing us, God, for a greater move of your Spirit in this world, God. And so it starts today, God. We will be that voice of hope. We will be that voice of hope in the workplace. We will be that voice of hope in our family. We will be that voice of hope, God, Lord, in the supermarket, wherever it is that we go, God. We will shout your praises, God, and we will be a light, God, in this darkened world, Father. And we will point them to you, Jesus. And we will remind them, God, that, Father, we are going to get on the other side. I said, we are going to get on the other side. And there is hope in Jesus. There is hope in Jesus today. And, Lord, we just take this time as well to pray for our pastor, to pray for his recovery today, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just stand in the gap for him. And, Father, I pray for his body, his soul, his mind and his spirit, Lord. May he be encouraged by you, Holy Spirit. May he be fortified by you, God. May every single day, God, be a day that we give you glory, God, for the progress that he is making, Lord. But, Father, we give you glory in advance, God, because we know, Father, that you're going to get him to the other side in Jesus' name. That you're going to get him to the other side, Father. And, God, he's going to come out of this, God, with a new anointing, God. He's going to come out of this with a new vision, God. He's going to come out of this, Father God, with just a new fire burning in his heart, God, in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church. Listen, if you accepted the Lord, we want to know about it. We want to celebrate with you. You can message us. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can send a message to our Instagram account, our YouTube page. You can comment below if you gave your heart to Jesus tonight. Listen, we want to celebrate with you, but we also want to point you towards resources that are going to help you get your life just going and established in Christ. Amen. And so if you were blessed by the message too, or God is doing something in your life, listen, send us a testimony. We want to know about what the Lord is doing. You can email us at contactus@rockofagesaog.org. And so also, listen, if you came across this message from a friend or from a loved one, then listen, I want to thank you for joining us. I really do. I want to thank you for joining us. And so on our website, we have an online connect card, and you can find that on there. And all you've got to do is just a couple clicks, just fill out that information really quick. That is going to help us also get in contact with you. It's going to help us serve you better. As well as get you the information that you need to just take on this journey with Christ. Amen. And so I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful that you've taken your time to just listen this evening. I pray that the word has been a blessing to your life. Amen. Why don't we pray as we dismiss? Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Father, just abide in the homes, God, of every listening person, Lord. Just bless them with your presence, God. Comfort them daily, God. Remind them of your promises and of your faithfulness every single day until you come, Lord. We will be the church, God. We will be a voice of hope, God. And Father God, we will be those, God, that, Lord, Father, during this storm, God, Lord, unlock, God, and set prisoners free, God. Set captives free with the power of your word, God, and with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.